America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By honoring your sacred vocation of nursing, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. At Grand Canyon University, our online RN to BSN, MSN, or DNP degree programs allow you to balance online coursework with local in-person clinical, practicum, or immersion hours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Donate and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All righty, we're back. And, Joe, we have a prayer request. Tom from New York has called. Apparently his mother, Anna, has had a heart attack, and she's on a ventilator, and he's asking for prayer. And so he says that she's saved, that she knows the Lord. So would you go ahead and would you offer up a prayer for Anna?
Her name is Anna?
Yeah, that's... Apparently she's an elderly woman.
Right. Okay, I'd be very happy to. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we know how unexpectedly things happen in this world, and too often we're just shocked when they do, and I'm sure Tom's situation with his mother. But the wonderful thing is she's one of your children from what we know. And we ask you to be with Tom and Anna, that if it be thy will, that you would heal her, restore her, and let her be a witness and testimony to you. But, Lord, we also know you might be calling a child home. We always have to pray that thy will be done, even though we are to bring our request to you, that I know Tom would, you know, want his mother returned, but we would ask that, Lord, you would be with both of them, comfort them, give them the blessing that you know they need the most, that they need, because you know all things, and you know what the outcome will be. And we just put it in your precious hands, but just, Lord, hold them up, give them comfort and peace, and just let them know that they're loved and that you're in control. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
All righty, very, very good. I got a question for our millennial. Hey, millennial.
Yes?
What happens to your prayers when you pray? What do you think the Bible says happens to your prayers?
Did they get answered?
Well, yep. Yeah, so sometimes the answer is yes.
Sometimes it's no.
And sometimes it's my grace is sufficient. But they don't just go out of existence. The Bible says that your prayers are kept in a vial, that God keeps them in heaven. Your prayers are kept. And so it's not like they simply don't exist anymore. And so that's very good. So the folks out there, when we pray like this, and they hear us praying, do you think it is profitable for them to join in and pray for people that need prayers? What do you think the Bible says about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the more the merrier, right, to put it simply.
Right, there's power in prayer. And again, those that show mercy receive mercy, right? Okay, so folks, whenever, you know, you're hearing us pray out there, join in with us. Now, a lot of you people out there that have supported us over the years, we pray for you. You've helped us. You support us with your finances, and we keep every one of your envelopes there with your name and address on it, and we have them in a big stacks, and we take them one by one, and we pray for them. Pray that now many of you send letters in there, and you know what? It's something really. I've never seen anything like this. I've never had so many prayer requests with people that have cancer. I can't believe how, you know, it seems like it's up about 100% from what it used to be. And obviously it's got a lot to do with the kill shots, the COVID shots. But we pray for each and every one of you. Now, some of you out there, you get our newsletter and you don't send back a donation. We've had people call Joe and tell me that, you know, I'm sending you the donation. I've been listening to you for years. I had a lady just the other day, Glory, a lady told me she has been listening to me for 50 years. She said, I've been listening to you for 50 years. And so, but anyhow, every now and then we do hear someone call and say, you know, I've been listening to you for a very long time, and I really like your program and that, but I've never donated. This is my first donation. So we praise the good Lord for that. And you folks out there, right now, this is we've had a really tough year. I mean, it's been a tough one this year. And we could use your help now. If you call our office, if you want to donate by a credit card, you can call the office between 1 and 5 p.m., 1 and 5 p.m. Eastern time. And the numbers you can call are 440-338-1036. I'll give you a minute. I know a lot of people are saying, give me a pen, give me a chance to get a pen and paper. And so if you've gotten that pen and paper, that number again is 440-338-1036. Or you can send it, or you can call 440-338-1367. Again, the other number is 440-338-1367 between 1 and 5. And if you could speak really clearly on the telephone and make sure we get a very clear address in that. Joe, tell them how, if they wanted to send in a check or a money order, how they could do that.
Well, simple. Write WRWL. You could add ministries, but WRWL will get there. 14781. That's 14781 Sperry Road, Sperry Road in Newberry, Newbury, Ohio. 44065. And if you're driving along, especially a lot of you truck drivers can't write while you're driving, go to WRWL.org, and all that information is right there available. And you can donate right there also on the website with PayPal or a credit card.
All right. Thanks, Jim. You know, Last Sunday, hundreds and hundreds of communists marched in Philadelphia. Now, these are Democrats that actually are saying, yes, they have a big banner. We are. These are Democrats that are actually admitting that they're communist. Most of them won't actually come out and admit that they're communist. But these Democrats actually are admitting that they're communist. They have a big banner with a hammer and sickle, revolutionary communist. And so this is from the Gateway Pundit. On Sunday, hundreds of communists marched in the city of Philadelphia. In a clip uploaded by the Revolutionary Communists of America, hundreds of communists were seen waving communist flags and marching in the streets of Philadelphia. RCA Rodex say, "Hello to America, communist generation." In a separate post, the group wrote, "Join the party and that will overflow capitalism in our lifetime." They've been trying to do that for over 100 years, haven't they?
Exactly. Yeah, it goes way, way back. Going along with that, the headlines in the London Daily Mail, Venezuela is in flames. Riots erupt over stolen election as protesters clash with police following President Maduro's victory declaration. After overseeing years of food shortages, lack of medicines, and a collapsed economy, the people claim that they won 71% of all the votes, and he's claiming victory, and security forces are out there, people are out there rioting, chanting, "Freedom, freedom, the government is going to fall." They're setting fires and putting up blockades. And the police, of course, are firing tear gas and rubber bullets. And but the people got mad and were throwing Molotov cocktails, rocks at the police. And people rebelling against socialism, communism in Venezuela. They had all the misery they can handle. And yet we have these people in America trying to convince you that it's the way to go. So look at it in action. Venezuela is a country that went socialist. They're broke. They're poor. There's lack of food, lack of jobs, lack of medicine. And the people are having to riot in the streets because it's so bad, and yet we've got these clowns in America trying to tell you it's better than what we have.
Right. Well, the actual vote looked at like it came out that for the Revolution Party, 60%, and for Maduro, 40%.
I heard figures was more like 70-30 in one article I read, but they weren't sure. But whatever it is, the people voted him out, but being a dictator, and because in communism, the small group of elites form the government, control everything. He's controlling the military and just saying, this is the way the election came out, and I'm back in power for another, what is it, 7 years or something?
Well, do you remember what happened within a year after Maduro took over, and the poverty was so great, the inflation was so great, that people were eating their dogs. They were eating their dogs.
Killing their animals, yes.
Yeah, and the people were fleeing there by the thousands.
Members left to other countries. They just gave up and left, took nothing with them because they had nothing left, and escaped to another country.
And the Obama regime was helping. They were involved in helping him.
Sure. They were buying oil from him and all kinds of other things. So they were doing everything, just kind of like Iran. They giving Iran money, helping them, getting rid of the all the, Trump put in place, all the, I can't think of the word.
Sanctions,
sanctions all over that made them poor, and the Biden administration removed all the sanctions, and now they're wealthy and powerful and buying all sorts of fancy weapons for the Houthis and for the Hezbollah, and we can see what happens when you turn them loose.
Hey, Joe, you want some real news? Check this one out right now. It was a setup. Pelosi's aides received the warning of the Capitol breach the night before January 6th, but Pelosi blocked the National Guard from coming to the Capitol. Here, footage was released in June from the House Oversight Committee of Nancy Pelosi's taking responsibility for the January 6, 2021 protest and rioting in the U.S. Capitol. Two top House security aides under the then-Speaker Nancy Pelosi got stark warnings from police the night before the January 6 riots that protesters might try to breach the U.S. Capitol. Well, of course they knew, because these were the Dirty 30. These were the rogue FBI agents that were a part of this. We knew that. That'll all come out. It'll all come out, right?
But is it going to come out in time to really make a difference in the election? That's my question.
Well, we're talking about it here tonight. We're not the only one, so...
Hopefully it will become a major news story across the country, right?
Right.
It should. It should become one of the top stories.
The documents obtained by Just the News also confirm that Pelosi's team played a role in the botched security planning for the fateful day. We have identified numerous open-source comments and indicating groups' intentions of finding the tunnel entrances and confronting, blocking the members of Congress. Capitol Police Deputy Chief Sean Gallagher wrote, Deputy House Sergeant at Arms Tim Blodgett at 8:55 p.m. on January 5th, 2021, in the email that got forwarded overnight to Blodgett's boss, then Sergeant at Arms Paul Irving. A second warning was sent later that evening about possible threats against Supreme Court justices, and the Sergeant at Arms office scheduled a briefing for Pelosi's then Chief of Staff, Terry McCullough. The next morning, hours before the breach occurred, during the messages, according to the messages obtained by House Administration Oversight Subcommittee Chairman Barry Loudermilk. There you go. As the Gateway Pundit previously reported, from Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, were both warned about the security situation prior to January 6th, and they both turned down the National Guard troops at the U.S. Capitol. Of course they knew, and the police chief knew it, and the police chief, you know, he couldn't come out and tell you flat outright that the FBI was going to do this, because then he would have, something bad would have happened to him probably, right? Alrighty. Did you know that...
If he'd been a real man of integrity, he would have, because once the truth is out, then, you know, that's your protection, is when everybody knows the truth. We've told people that before. If you got a secret and keep it, you're in more danger than if you come out and go public.
Absolutely.
That has been the truth for a long, long time in this country.
Alrighty, here you go. Going on the offense of GOP congressmen, it's about time they go on the offense, way past time. GOP congressman introduces articles of impeachment against Kamala Harris. You're not going to hear too much about that in the fake news media, are you?
Oh, no, they're going to ignore that. That's that lie by omission. They will lie to you because they will not talk about it at all, even mention it's a story. And that's why it's a lie, because they're deceiving you.
All right, Republicans are starting, finally, to go on offense against Kamala Harris, even as she enjoys a honeymoon from the corporate media and communist voters, highlighting her radical left policies and tying her to Joe Biden's record as president. Now, one has vowed to go further over her negligent performance in office. Olivia Beavers of Politico revealed Tuesday afternoon that Representative Andy Ogles, a Tennessee Republican, has introduced articles of impeachment to hold Harris accountable. The articles accuse Harris of high crimes and misdemeanors, specifically pointing to the failures as border czar. Specifically, Harris has willfully and systematically refused to uphold federal immigration laws, in that, in her conduct of the office of Vice President of the United States, Kamala Davis Harris has willfully prevented, obstructed, and impeded the administration of justice.
Hmm.
It goes on, and here's all the articles here. Wow. Resolution. The articles also claim Harris has demonstrated extraordinary incompetence in the execution of her duties. On one needs only to watch an interview with her to make that determination. Courtesy of Beavers below. Okay, here's the House resolution. Let's see. 118th Congress, 2D sessions. Okay. Impeaching Kamala Harris, Davis Harris, Vice President of the United States for high crimes and misdemeanors. It goes on, one, be it resolved that Kamala Davis Harris, Vice President of the United States, is impeached for high crimes, misdemeanors, and the following articles of impeachment must be exhibited in the United States Senate. Articles of impeachment exhibited by the House of Representatives of the United States of America in the name of self and of the people and of the United States of America against Kamala Davis Harris, Vice President. It goes on to say, the United States is to maintain, the United States in maintenance, it's a strange word, and support of the impeachment against her high crimes and misdemeanors. Article 1, willful refusal to uphold the immigration laws. The Constitution provides that the House of Representatives shall have the sole power of impeachment, and executive branch offices, including the Vice President, shall be removed from office on impeachment for the conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. In her conduct of the office, the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Davis Harris, in violation of her constitutional oath to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, to bear truth, faith, and allegiance in the same, and will, and to will and faithfully discharge the duties of her office, has willfully and systematically refused to uphold federal immigration laws in that, in her conduct of the office of Vice President of the United States, Kamala Davis Harris, in violation of her constitutional oath to faithfully execute the office of Vice President of the United States, and to the best of her ability to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and in violation of her constitutional duty to take care that the laws be faithfully executed, has willfully prevented, obstructed, and impeded the administration of justice in that. Well, this thing goes on for a very, very long time, so I'm not going to read the entire thing.
Well, the other thing was she is one of the people who knew about Biden's condition, that he was unfit for office, and she did not bring it to the attention of the cabinet of others.
Not only did she not bring it to attention, she flat out lied.
Lied about it, right.
Yeah, to the American people.
And she, Well, so there's a congresswoman, I can't remember the name, but she's demanding Biden be impeached too, but it's irrelevant because he's not in charge. And like the one judge said, he's an old man and nobody will do it out of sympathy. They're not going to, charge him with impeachment. He's old and senile now, and, so that's kind of just, I don't know, kicking a dead horse, maybe?
Well, he's, again, they've taken, it looks like they've taken away all his authority. He's just there. And now, from what I understand, that Jill Biden is very, very angry, and she said she was just getting used to taking her trips on Air Force One, and now she's very, very angry, and those people that did this are going to pay, okay? But the powers to be, I think, pretty much said, look, we've decided it's time for Joe to go, okay?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, why don't we open the phone lines?
The Democrat Party is not very democratic. In fact, they are acting like dictators and are anything but democratic, right?
Yep.
Hey, you know, I've got one quick thing I'd like to throw in. Today, July 30th, back in 1956, In God We Trust was declared the national motto. And it's still being displayed in all U.S. currency to this day. And it's something that I wish people paid more attention to. The 84th Congress passed a joint resolution declaring In God We Trust the national motto. This is according to History.com. And the vote was, I think there was only like, out of everybody, there were like six people that didn't vote for it. And everybody else in the Senate and the House voted it in. And there's a lot of history there about how it happened, but it was going back, way back to the Founding Fathers, putting our trust in the Declaration, in God we trust, right? Putting our faith in divine providence. That's what's wrong. We quit doing that in America, and that's why we're in the mess we're in, isn't it?
Yep. All nations that forget their God will be doing, what'll happen to them? They'll be turned into hell, it says.
Yep, condemned to hell, they'll be forgotten.
Let's open the phone lines. The phone lines are now open at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you have a question or a comment. Hey, Joe, 5,800 IRS employees owe nearly $50 million in unpaid taxes. Did you know that?
You know, we did a story like that about 5-6 years ago, or maybe...
I remember, yeah.
Yeah, things don't change, do they?
Nope.
Same stuff, just a different day. Oh, boy.
The other thing was we did that story on somebody went undercover in there, and they find out that they spent a good portion of the day, the IRS employees... a good portion of their days watching pornography, even the women. even they were saying, even the women, you know, washed, they did it in their offices, you know, where they have an office and all these desks out there. They did it together. But here, this article says at least 5,800 IRS employees and contractors owe almost $50 million in overdue taxes, and more than half of them haven't been required to agree to a payment plan, according to the Department of the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. In a report made available to the... did you say there was a caller?
Yeah, we got a couple.
Okay, let me do this really quickly and I'll take a call. In a report made available to the Epoch Times, said auditors found 3,414 or 4% of the 85,359 employees at the IRS have unpaid taxes. Of those with payment plans, 9 million remained unpaid and 12 million is owed by employees without any payment plan at all. Okay. I'm going to... Who do we have?
We have Mrs. Butler in Massachusetts.
We're going to go out to Massachusetts and Mrs. Butler. Hello, Mrs. Butler.
Hello, Pastor. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
Well, I just wanted to tell you, I am one of the privileged of probably hundreds of your people who listen to you. And we receive your letter, which is so informative. And inside that letter, you also are kind enough to leave an envelope. And we are 100% behind you. And we would like, in our family, we plan on putting $100 in there extra to send it to you. And we would love to challenge the other people who have enjoyed your letter month after month after month to put $100 in that envelope and just send it off to you as a love offering from all of us to tell you how much your station means to us.
Well, God bless you, and thank you so much for that.
So I want matches on those. I mean, don't get your letter and not reach in your pocket, ladies and gentlemen. That's not nice. So we just need to just give you that extra because, unfortunately, it was the week of the RNC, the same time you were doing your matchy-matchies, and that really took a lot out of you, and I don't think that's right. So I think we need to step up to the plate and support a man of God and Joe and all the others who have just given to us so much. So thank you, and $100 will be in that little envelope that you put in. And they all have their envelopes, Pastor. Every one of them.
Yep. Well, thank you so very much for those wonderful, kind words. If you ever get up this way, I'd love to take you out to dinner.
I know. We'll take you out, and we'll listen to your stories.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. God bless you. Thank you so much. All righty. You know, I'm going to have a lot of those stories are going to be on a DVD. And we're going to make, we made a number of these DVDs that 50 years of stories. Now, I can tell you the folks this, it's not of my doing, okay? I'm not that smart, believe me. But I haven't had a boring day in 50 years. And so many of the things that the Lord has put me into just... And put me into situations where unbelievable, and I tell people about these because people have been asking me after me for years to write a book, and so anyhow they're going to be on DVDs and we'll be making those available to the listeners out there, and so alrighty that, and but right now, hang tight, we'll be back right after this.
You know, it's sometimes hard to live the Christian life in the real world, but we've found that that when you don't, dysfunctional kind of becomes our middle name. And we found that often what you need to do is just take a little time for Jesus. Maybe go down on your knees and pray once in a while.
Thank you. you'll have to drink the bitter cup like you did. My father and my precious mother, they drank that old bitter cup like you did. And I'll leave there up in heaven, they are rejoicing with him. Take a little time for Jesus. Spend a little time with him. Take a little time for Jesus. But you'll have to drink the bitter cup like he did.
Amen. Amen. All righty, we're back. And let's go out to San Diego. Hey, Jack. Hey, Jack, you're in the air.
Yes, I was going to talk about Kamala and whether or not she's eligible to be president. So I think most people forget that the Constitution created two types of citizens. And you find that when you read about the eligibility requirements to be president. There's a citizen of the United States, and then there's a natural-born citizen, which means your parents were born in the United States. So what happened was is the requirements said that natural-born citizens are eligible to be president. And citizens of the United States were only eligible at the time of the adoption of the Constitution, so in the very beginning of our country. So today, citizens of the United States are not eligible to be president. And the 14th Amendment, everybody that is a citizen due to the 14th Amendment is, if you read it, is a citizen of the United States. They're not natural born. So Kamala, her parents, one was from Jamaica, one was from India, She was born here in the United States, so she's a citizen of the United States, but she's not natural born. And it's not really relevant, but I understand she was raised in Canada. But the fact is that she's a 14th Amendment citizen or a citizen of the United States, and under the qualifications to be president, she's not eligible to be president. Now, for example, if she and her current husband, assuming he's a citizen, were to have children, their children would be natural born and would be eligible to be president. But, you know, we have a fundamental problem in this country today, is that a lot of the Constitution is just simply being ignored. And even the Supreme Court is being ignored. For example, they're ruling on student loans. The president has ignored their decision and has continued to forgive student loans.
Well, he's lawless. They ignored a lot of, you know, look what the FBI is doing. I mean, yeah, we're living in that whole regime is a lawless regime, okay? But, you know, let me just say this quick, but the whole board's list, so I have to move on. But, you know, Obama was not in that, you know, he was not eligible. We knew that. And because
well, it depends on whether he was born in Hawaii or not, because his mother was a citizen.
Well, according to his grandmother, she was at it. She was there where he was born.
Bruce.
According to his grandmother, she was there at his birth, and that was not in the United States. And and according to Michelle, he was born in Kenya. She was speaking to in Kenya. This is the birthplace of my. You know what? Do you have that little clip? We have we have Slick Willie. Slick Willie, Bill and Hillary were the first birthers, and they were talking about Obama was not eligible, and you had Bill Clinton in Kenya talking to the mayor, and the mayor says he was born right here. But we have to move on. But thanks. Let's go to Timothy. You're in.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor?
Okay, how are you?
I think you need to also do a duet CD, and you definitely need to write a book.
Okay. Say that again. I didn't. You kind of sound like you're in a tunnel. Are you there?
Yeah. You need to do a duet CD.
All right.
That would be great.
Okay.
You know, because the left controls the media, the levers of power, and they're basically using science. And they're so full of hate and lies, they're making up the rules as they go, just like Biden dropping out. So we have to learn to fight fire with fire. And just like Moses was led the people to the promised land, he wasn't allowed to enter. And the quickest way to remove the Donald Trump derangement syndrome is for Donald to show the world that he is actually a humble man. And right now they're painting him up as Hitler, and they're not going to stop. They tried to kill him. And what they're doing to it from day one has been terrible. So if I were Donald, I would make an unorthodox move. I would respectfully decline the party's nomination. I would convene a special election, and I look as Marco Rubio as Joshua, and Vivek Ramaswamy as Caleb. And Rubio and Vivek are both God-fearing men, and with Marco being able to speak Spanish and Vivek on the Hindu side, that would be an unorthodox move, but we have a good talent pool. We got to do something different, Pastor.
Yeah, I know that. I know that. And one thing, we have to be much less tolerant. The Republicans have just been... It's like the pulpits in this country. There's been a lack of courage within the Republican Party. I tell you, that's why we've been, the rhinos have betrayed us so many times. Got to move on, Timothy. Thanks. Let's go to Vince in St. Paul.
Thank you for taking my call. You guys sometimes mention the Hezbollah.
I don't know where you guys get your news or even why you even buy the, what the news has to say, but there is no Hezbollah. Hezbollah doesn't even exist.
Yeah, but they don't know that, right? So why would you say that?
Why?
Yeah, why?
It doesn't exist. It's just, where do you get this news? I mean, the news, you can't believe anything anymore on the news. The whole news is fake.
Well, we have people that do research all day long. We get a lot of our news, too, from foreign sources. But, you know, those people that were marching in New York City and Philadelphia carrying those signs, Hezbollah, who were they?
Well, who knows who they were, but there's no Hezbollah. It's just paid agents, I guess, from George Soros. But there's no Hezbollah.
They are a group of radical Islamic radicals that have banished
they're
together.
They're radicals.
That
I don't know if they're
the name
Islamic.
They are
Islamic.
Yes,
and they call themselves
Islamic. What wouldn't you think that they're Israeli Mossad? You'd think it'd be Israel. You know, there's an ISIS, but you never see ISIS invading Israel.
I don't think the Israelis are killing their own people. We have to move on. Thanks, Vince. Let's go to Clifford. Clifford, you're in the air.
You know, when they talk about how smart these people are, you know, they say AOC, she was a bartender. She did go to college. She finished college. But she actually, she's a leftist, but speaks better and argues her position better on the stump than Kamala Harris does. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there's something strange about AOC. People whose eyes, have you ever noticed whose eyes are like bug eyes? They're real, like, for example, Adam Schiff. They all seem to have a very strange, well, you know, the new word that they just used is weird, you know?
Yeah.
And, I mean, they really opened up the echo chamber and everything. I mean, they're so obvious, these people, you know, but I don't know. Yeah, gee, I would say Kamala, I would say she's a dingbat. I mean, this woman is so pro-abortion, and she is, you know, she laughed and laughed about how many black men she locked up for doing marijuana. Here's a woman that didn't like men. Not only, you know, she was obviously racist, but she especially didn't like black men for some reason. Okay. Very strange woman, but
But you can see that if you're going to have someone in Congress arguing a bill, AOC is actually more adept at that than Kamala Harris would be, which is interesting. You know, they're touting her ability, but I don't think she's that adept at arguing her position, you know.
I would have to agree with you.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, listen, thanks, Cliff. We got the whole board lit, so I got to keep moving tonight. Let's go to AC. AC, you're in the air.
Hello, pastors.
Hello, AC.
Last week, there was a woman caller who was asking about a Jewish ministry called Jewish Voice. Okay?
Yeah.
And she said this ministry was run by a man named Jonathan Burness. Okay?
Okay.
Well, I did a little bit of investigation into this ministry. All right?
Okay.
And there's a number of red flags. But the first red flag is the ministry is run by Jonathan Burness, who has a title in front of his name. And the title is Rabbi. Now, what did Jesus say about being called rabbi? He said in Matthew 23, verse 8, but be not ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. All right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first problem. The second problem is he's got a book out called A Rabbi Looks at the Last Day. And I got excerpts from the book, and he writes in there, what if everything you've been told about the last days is wrong, such as the mark of the beast, Gog and Magog, the number 666, the abomination of desolation. Now, there's another guy that writes a review of his book, okay, like on the back cover, I guess it is, a messianic Jewish man named Dr. Michael Brown. And Dr. Michael Brown commends this rabbi for the book and makes this statement, you will see why Israel's salvation will be the greatest event in world history. Well, I don't think that's the greatest event in world history. Do you?
No.
I think it's more like the resurrection.
Yeah. All righty.
Go with that.
How much time do I have, Style?
7 minutes.
Okay. Okay. Go ahead. 1 minute.
Okay. This man, this Jonathan Burness, believes in a post-tribulation rapture. He rejects, both him and Michael Brown reject the doctrine of a pre-tribulation rapture. So that's scary. And both of them are in for a fooling.
Yeah, well, I think the Bible really speaks pretty clear on pre-tribulation rapture. But all right, well, listen, I thank you very much, my friend. We're up against it, so we're coming up to time to give that invitation. You know, what I'm going to be, Lord's willing, what I'm going to be preaching on this week, Joe, is why we do what we do. Why we do what we do, okay? In other words, I'm going to be talking about, because there are people that don't understand why we get baptized. I'm going to be looking at why we baptize people. There are people that don't understand why we take the Lord's table. I'm going to explain, Lord's willing, why we take the Lord's table. Now, unless the Lord changes that up, sometimes he'll change my message up at the last minute, and it's hard to explain, but you know that you know.
Yes.
Okay.
I've had him do that sometimes half an hour before.
And I'm going to explain why it is we give an invitation, you know, that we do out here. And we do an invitation because it's not a suggestion. The Lord commanded, didn't he, that we teach, preach to the people, witness to the people, and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, didn't he?
He did. And we're supposed to give our testimony and witness and bring others to Christ. That was the Great Commission, right?
Right. And so, one thing about God's Word, the Bible, it doesn't stutter, does it? Okay. And is there any other source of information or authority in existence, like God's Word, the Bible? Is there any that even comes close? God's Word is the ultimate authority, isn't it?
It is. It always has been, always will be.
Okay. So God himself said that heaven and earth will pass, but his words will never pass away.
Pass.
Okay. So in that, and this is why we give this invitation, because it's as sure gets. It's more sure than the sun's going to rise tomorrow. A lot of people say, well, I don't know. It's because the vast majority of people out there are not biblically literate, okay? If they were biblically literate, then they would understand that, huh?
They would. Well, they'd understand a lot more than they do.
Yep. Okay. So, folks, again, the long and the short of this is, again, that God's Word, the Bible, is the ultimate and the absolute authority. Even mathematically, there's people that have studied this, and Jerry Lucas, remember the famous basketball player? He wrote that book, Theomatics, where he takes the Bible and he takes it by numbers, numerically, and shows you how the accuracy of all of these prophecies that, you know, the probability mathematically of these being fulfilled.
Well, exactly how, when, and where they were said.
The probability is astronomical. It's zero, okay? But anyhow, folks, here's the long and the short of it, okay? Every one of you out there that are listening to us, they're listening to us because they're alive. Would you say so, Joe?
Right.
Now, if they weren't alive,
they'd hear us.
Right, they wouldn't be listening to us. So because you're alive, that means that one of these days, you see, the last act of living is to die, and that you're going to die. And I'll tell you why. Because God's Word, the Bible, says it's appointed all men once to die. And you don't know anyone that was here 200 years ago. I don't know anybody. Nobody does, right?
No, and so, I'm old, but not that old.
That's right. And so you're going to die. Now, God has said this, that when you die, if you die saved, if you have given your heart to Him, and you've called upon the name of the Lord, then you will go into glory. Okay, but if you die in your sin, that means if you have failed to repent of your sin and call upon the name of the Lord, you've got a very, very bad future, folks. So here's, now, when God tells you something, folks, listen to Him. He's always accurate. He always gets His way, okay? So listen to Him. So here's the point. Here's what you need to do. Every one of you out there listening to us tonight, you need to, it's like I said, it's not a tragedy to die, but to die in your sin, it don't get any worse. Right now, when you hear the preacher, Joe, when they hear the preacher giving an invitation, he's just a messenger, right?
Right. That's what we are.
The Lord is calling you right now, and here's what He's telling you. He wants you to come before Him, repent of your sins, and just pray to the Father and say, Father, forgive me of my sins. Ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life. Ask Him to come in. And without any exceptions, folks, put Him first. He says He's got to be first. You got to do that. And you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and on your way to eternity. And with the Holy Spirit, you will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, those things will happen to you if you believe and if you listen and obey. We're out of time for tonight, so at this time we always say good night. Thanks for being here. God bless.
God bless.
And always, always, always.
Always.
You ready?
Ready.
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.